Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
From the corner, Berry. Rick Berry has not missed the free throw against Washington. Now it is Berry. Back to Clifford Ray. Goes to Rick Berry.
Golden State getting that ball moving. Intended for Berry. Berry, look at that pass. Rick Berry, look at that shot, would you?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Berry wants to make a move. There's a Berry. He's got his shot.
Hey, everybody, the Rick Barry Show here. Yes, that's right. I have my cohort in crime, the surf man himself, Cyrus Satches. And boy, there's a lot of stuff going on now, Cyrus. This has to be a reporter's nirvana to have this Kevin Durant thing hanging out there, because now you have the freedom to talk about all the bullshit in the world. You can say whatever you want to say. Well, I heard this from him, and I heard this from him. And boy, this would be a great trade, and I think they should do this. And I mean, who really gives a rat's butt? Because what's going to happen is going to happen. When it happens, then you can discuss it. And now you can actually make an evaluation, determination, and give your opinion about what you think of it. But what anybody thinks about what might happen, this might happen, this might happen, that's such a waste of time and energy. I'm serious. When you get older, you realize that. You don't waste time on bullshit, okay?
Well, let me ask you this, Rick. For the basketball junkie, and for people who are watching or listening, you can subscribe to Rick Berry on all social media platforms at Rick24Berry. You can follow me, Cyrus Sotz, as a Dog Surf Road Show. Rick, there's nothing else going on in the NBA. Could it just be boredom, you think? Or people
I think it is, and there's other stuff going on. Hey, when I was just doing my radio show back, you know, you were my producer. We used to hope that stuff like this would come up. You would pray that something happened the night before, that you'd have something to talk about and have people wanting to call in. The worst thing that can happen is for nothing to be going on, because now you have to be creative. You have to really come up with some interesting things to talk about, but you always need to come up with things to get people's opinion. And this obviously is a great way to get that, because everybody has an opinion about the KD situation, where he should go, what he should do. And I'm sticking to my thing here. You know what? You signed a contract. I have 4 more years of your services owed to me. Okay? Get in shape. Show up at training camp. And let's go. Kyrie's going to be here. You wanted to play with him. He's here now. Let's try and put some other people around. Let's see if we can get Ben back serviceable for us. And let's see what we can do something with this team for this season. And screw all of this other stuff. I mean, first of all, you're not going to get something comparable to Kevin Durant coming back to you, okay? Let's just be realistic about this. You may be able to get some other extra draft picks and then hope that you're smart enough to be able to pick players who might turn into the next Kevin Durant. Chances of that happening, pretty slim. There's not a whole lot of Kevin Durants around. And based upon the track history of most teams, it'll never happen, okay? So because some of the decisions that these teams make on players and all, I'm just dumbfounded by it. I really and truly am. To give out and guarantee multi-millions of dollars to someone that you hope is going to become a good player.
Correct.
I just don't understand the rationale behind that from a business standpoint alone. So anyway, it is what it is. Like you say, you got to play the cards that you're dealt.
Let me ask you this, Rick.
I'm going to throw this out. I'll get this out of the way quick.
No, go.
The Warriors would be out of their freaking mind to trade for Kevin Durant to get him back. The Warriors they just won the NBA championship. They have a fistful of young, exciting young talent that could keep this team relevant for many years to come, with still having their core 3 guys who started it all 40 years after we did it from 75 to win that first championship. What the hell do you want to mess with that for?
That's fair. Well, can I give you the rebuttals? Because there's there's a lot of complexities to this. And as I give you more facts, I would love to get your feedback. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, it's where the game starts. Joel Lacob said a week or two ago, he was on a podcast, and he said that that they were not going to be giving two max contracts on top of the big contracts they already have given out to Steph, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, meaning Andrew Wiggins in a year and Jordan Poole technically now, but certainly in a year, are both going to be eligible for max deals. All indications are Jordan Poole wants the max deal. So if you're Joe Lacob and you're thinking, okay, I'm not going to give five big contracts, but if I trade both Wiggins and Poole and get Kevin Durant back, now I'm only going to be dealing with four max contracts. Does that make a little more sense in terms of why this is a probable or plausible scenario, or do you still reject all notion of this?
It doesn't make it plausible for me. Why? To try to win now? I mean, there's no guarantees. I mean, Kevin's getting older. He's had, you know, serious major injuries. Heaven only knows whether he's going to stay healthy or not. You're giving up, if you had to get what you have to give up to get him. Yeah, I mean, if Kevin doesn't come through, I mean, yeah, maybe you can win another title, maybe two, but you may be able to do that right now with the young people you have and adding some new people to the occasion, to the equation. And then you can deal with the situation, you know, as it develops. I mean, here's the thing. Why do you want to give out max contracts if a guy isn't deserving of it? I mean, I love what Jordan Poole is starting to turn into, but is he deserving of a max contract? You know, I mean, and I love him. I mean, I'd love, there's things that could help make him into a hell of a player, and he could be there for the Warriors, wind up getting a max, be there forever, have a chance to stay with the team that could win on multiple years. But I don't think he's at the max level as far as a player right now. Yes, he's developed into a hell of a basketball player, but he still has a ways to go. So go out, prove it, get it done, and then you'll get to a situation where maybe you could do it. And then 2 years down the road, and maybe at a situation where maybe the Warriors will let one of those guys that has a max contract, if somebody wants to take him on for a year or so, whatever, if your other guys have developed and you still keep yourself relevant with young talent, that you can do what the Lakers did in the 80s with Jerry West there and the people they brought in. You could do what Popovich and R.C. Buford did down in San Antonio by bringing in the right people in the mix to keep the team relevant for an extended period of time. That's what you like to see. As a fan, I think that's what you would want. I mean, we've already won, you know, four championships in the last 8 years. So let's not get super greedy, though it easily could have been six. We all know that. And so let's keep ourselves up there. Let's keep our franchises one of the ultimate franchises. Keep it where a really good another guy from another team might be willing to come over and play, and you could pick up some other people. As I told you before, the success in team sports, who do you trade for? Who do you draft? Who do you get in free agency? It's about the players. Okay. Correct. Taking nothing away from Steve Kerr, what he's accomplished and what any other coach has accomplished. He's not winning without talent. Okay. Sure. Unless it's God coming down and sending Jesus Christ back again to prove, you know, have some miracles. We're not getting a team that sucks personnel wise to win championships. Okay. It's not happening.
Jesus Christ can hit the curveball and he can hit three pointers. I have no disagreement with you there. but realistically though, so Jordan, let's say Jordan Poole asks for the max. What if he's like, I want the max or I'm gone. At that point, let's say that's the scenario that the Warriors are dealing with here, that they don't want to give him a max, but that's what he wants. And so you're risking losing Jordan Poole. But then you're going to be giving Wiggins the full deal. So I guess
we're saying is something, listen, but you can get something for him. Right?
So you mean in a trade?
Well, I'm saying if he wants the max when a time up and he's going to become a restricted free agent or something, but that if he's going to become a total free agent that year and he says, look, I'm not playing unless I get the max. And you try to talk to him, try to get him, look, here's the reasons why we could be relevant, blah, blah, blah. You play, you do another year and everything. You'll be eligible to have the max. Some of our other guys are going to be gone. They won't be. And you'll be, you know, a guy on a great team for a long period of time and see if you can put some, you know, some realization into the situation that exists at that time. If he's not going to go for it, well then okay, at that time, you know, so you get a deal, you make a deal, but you're going to get something for him. I mean, if he wants a max contract and somebody's out there willing to give it to him, they're going to have to give you something. So if you get a whole bunch of new draft picks, maybe some other good players to add to your roster that are quality players that you know what they're going to be, not a rookie who you don't know what the hell's going to happen. You know, that's what being a GM and that's what putting a team together is all about. But
so Rick, let me ask you this.
Let's say KD back would be foolish.
That's fair. But let's say for the sake of argument that the Warriors don't have to give up Kuminga or Moody, who in my opinion are the two prizes of this young core. And obviously, you know, if you disagree with me, say so. But let's say it's just Poole, Wiggins, and Wiseman, and maybe a couple first round picks. You still wouldn't do that
just for Durant? Poole, Wiggins, and Wiseman. You're just giving away all the young freaking people that can help make you a success if it's just them. Come on. Come on, that's ridiculous.
That's fair. That's it's fair. Insane. That's fair. You can
That's three guys that could be a part of future championship teams for the Warriors.
Poole, that's true. Wiggins,
Wiseman. I mean, come on. And then you throw your other two guys, throw Kuminga and throw Moody into the equation. It's, I mean, come on. Look at what you have. Look at the talent. These are guys other than Wiseman, who hasn't had a chance to prove much, but has shown great promise at all. Other than him, all of those guys have now finally shown, because Wiggins came of age this past season. I mean, Wiggins all of a sudden showed why somebody thought he was going to be worth a number one pick and, you know, one of the lottery guys. But some guys, it takes a while to get there. Other guys, the majority of them, don't ever get there, okay?
Have you been watching Summer League at all? Has that piqued your interest?
I watched a little bit of the Warriors stuff to see what they were doing, and they obviously, as a team, didn't do very well. And Wiggins, Wiseman at times, you know, showed some nice things. Yeah. Kuminga's got a lot. I can help him. He tries to do a little bit too much. He just needs to be guided in the right direction, because he has so much potential and so much of an upside.
So you like him. Okay. I love Moody. I like Moody is actually impressed the most. I don't know if you've.
Oh no. As I said, when they were losing Peyton, I said, hey, they have a bigger, better shooter in Moody with a bigger upside offensively.
Well, did that bother you that they lost Gary Payton II? Cause it crushed me. I love that guy.
To have seen him stay on the team. I think he was a valuable addition and very instrumental in helping the team achieve what they achieved and winning the championship. But, you know, to have to pay that kind of money and do that stuff, I mean, I don't know if it was worth doing that. I mean, you had to make a choice between he and Moody. Well, you got a younger guy who has, I think, a bigger upside.
Yeah. Yeah, much bigger. Well, yeah, and he's younger. He's only 20 years old. How's the big three going for you, by the way, Rick?
Whole team together. Leandro Barbosa just got hurt in our last game.
We were playing
the team that was tied for first place, the Aliens, with the foreign players on it. And the game was like right at 31-31. And I mean, we were right there with them in the second half. You know, we're up 26-25 at the half. And it was very disappointing, you know, because we lost him. Without Leandro playing and playing at his best, it was difficult. It's difficult for us to have a chance to be able to win. And so we wound up losing that game and have to replace him.
What is the injury?
It's not good in that regard. So, but it's still kind of fun. I mean, I just hate losing. That's the thing. I hate losing. But the last time I checked, no coach has made a shot. No coach has made a good pass for an assist. No coach has gotten a rebound or blocked a shot. The players still have to get the job done. I mean, that's what it all boils down to. And in 3x3, you have to be able to shoot the ball and you have to make 3-point shots. Otherwise, you aren't winning. It's really that simple.
There was a great clip of you out there where you did this underhanded shot while you were during a practice session, I'm guessing. And
That was from 4-point range.
So that was a deep shot. That's what I thought. And it hit nothing but net. And I loved your swagger after hitting it. Like it was no big deal.
Well, it took me a few times to be able to make it. I didn't make it on my first try.
what is Barbosa's injury? Is he okay?
Well, hopefully he's going to be okay, but he did something right below his calf, and we don't think it's an Achilles. Might have tweaked and pulled a few fibers of muscle, He said he thought he got hit, but then again, when something happens in a tear, sometimes it feels like you got hit.
Yes.
But it's not Achilles. So he'll be out for next weekend, and we're looking to get a replacement for him for that next weekend. But he's such a great guy, and he was back, you know, playing well, and we were right there in the game with the number one team again. And then when we lost him, it's tough. It's tough when you're losing a guy that's averaging 17 points a game for you in a game to 50.
that play where he hit the game winner, that was all over social media. That blew up. But wait a second. There's a team in the Big Three that's comprised of foreign players, and they're called the
Aliens. Three foreign guys, and Deshaun Stevens. And he's really a good player. My gosh, I had no idea about him.
He was a great player, too, yeah.
I'm telling you, this guy, I mean, he's really good. He's got a 7'3 wingspan. He blocks shots. He gets on the boards. He's athletic. He's active as heck. He can shoot the 3-point shot. He hardly ever misses inside. He's shooting like, I mean, he's a really, really good player for them. And he hurt us big time in that game. I love him. I mean, I wish he would come and go play on my son's 3x3 team or play in the World Tour or something, if, depending on what he winds up doing. But man, he's a nice player. Very nice player.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then Dusan Bulut and Los Manos, who was a gold medal winner, and you know, both of those guys playing from overseas in you know, Serbia and you know, Latvia and some of the other countries over there. And then Dusan brought in one of the big guys for him to play, who's another nice player. I mean, but you know what, that just shows you. You know, these guys have the experience. They're older. They've played 3x3 overseas, and it's much more difficult and harder to play 3x3 FIBA rules than into these rules, because you take the ball out of bounds. The other area, you got to get the rebound. You got to go. You're constantly moving. But they understand it's pass, move, cut. It's a little bit of a different game, and they do a nice job of creating opportunities for themselves. And you know, right now, that team's in, you know, tied for first place.
Shifting gears back to the Warriors, Rick, because obviously everyone loves your opinions and expertise. Is this Warriors bench?
Everybody loves them. No, most people don't
respect it. They should respect it. Anybody intelligent.
My perspective, because a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, okay? And so it's nothing but the truth coming out of me, okay? Nothing but the truth, you know? And we can put our little famous Jack Nicholson little, you know.
I'm pulling that up right now.
Yeah, pull that up right now. We understand this.
But real quick. No, you're right. A lot of people cannot handle the truth. There's no doubt about that. But the truth I'm curious to hear from you is, given, you know, you're a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever, you know this game as well, if not better than anybody, is this young core, the Warriors basically decided, at least at the moment, the way they're presently constructed, to just abandon literally all of their veterans on the bench, and their depth is going to be their young core, Wiseman, Moody, Kuminga. They added DiVincenzo. I'm gonna have a guest on my other show to who covers the Bucks to break him down, because I'm not super familiar with him yet. But and then you got other young pieces, and that's your bench. Are you happy with that? Is that something you can win a championship with?
Well, I would be concerned a little bit about that. Yes, because you don't win without your bench. Okay, your first five guys and your and maybe the first two coming off the bench are critical for you, but you still have to have some depth. Your bench has to do a good job. That was one of the successes for the Warriors in the championship runs that they had. Remember the biggest thing when they lost a bunch of guys after they won a couple titles, and we talked about it, and I said, well, you know, it's all going to come down to, you know, who do they have on the bench? How is the bench going to play? Because when they first won in those first couple of championships they had, the bench did such a great job. A lot of times the stars weren't doing well, the bench would come in and get the lead back. You know,
agreed.
Or if nothing else, and nothing is, just keep them right there, you know, not to come in and the other team runs off 10, 12, 15 points against you. You have to be able to maintain some semblance of play to keep the lead that there is, or to not fall further behind if you are behind, and ideally to cut into a deficit sometimes when they come into the game. So that's always been a critical element. And yes, if they stay without picking up a veteran player to come off that bench, who's been around and knows what it takes, I would have some concern as to how well that's going to play out for them. Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. And, you know, in fact, I'll put real quick, first of all, the clip that you talk about, because you're right, people just cannot handle the truth. I don't know if that's a flaw in human nature.
Well, let's let people know, this comes from a few good men, and it's Tom Cruise courtroom scene with Jack Nicholson on the stand.
Absolutely.
Answers. I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
No one can handle the truth, Rick.
There you go. That's such. I mean, I've always loved that scene. It's because it hit home to me all the time. Because I believe I am. In fact, you know, my wife even said, she's, honey, the most honest person I've ever met in my life. But you're brutally honest. And so maybe she's got to try to take the brutality out of it. But you have to be honest. My dad always told me, you need to be honest. You can't be lying to people and doing stuff. Be honest.
Agreed.
And the sad part is, as I've mentioned so many times, people ask questions and then they expect a certain answer. And if you don't give them that answer that they want, they get mad at you. I mean, you don't have to get mad at me. You don't have to agree with me, but don't get mad at me.
Yep. Yeah, people are sensitive. There's just a lot of sensitivity in this world. I totally agree with you. Yeah, so I'm going to, you know, there's some free agents out there. I'm gonna give you some names. Like, what do you think about Carmelo Anthony to the Warriors? Because I agree. I think the Warriors need to add some veterans. I'll give you some names that are still available. What are your thoughts on Melo?
Too old.
Too old. Wow. Okay. All right. So,
well, too old. And the thing is that, although I will say he did change his game somewhat, but he wasn't, you know, the pass, move, cut kind of guy that plays the Warrior kind of basketball. I mean, that was not necessarily his game. In fact, the biggest criticism for him in the majority of his career was what? He didn't make other players better.
True. Yeah, that is true.
Right?
That is the criticism, correct? Yeah,
and that's the same situation. That's why I said when KD first came here, I said KD's gonna become a better basketball player getting to play for this team because they're playing the game the right way. He's gonna get more easy shots than he's ever had before, which happened, right? He became a better player. He became a facilitator. I mean, KD became a better player those 2 years that he played for the Golden State Warriors, without question. Those 3 years, I mean,
agreed.
Without question. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So. What are you thinking about Iguodala? I mean, the team apparently is just giving him leeway to take his time deciding whether he's going to retire or come back. I don't know if it's – I mean, he looked like his body was breaking down. Would you bring him back another year? I mean, as a Udonis Haslam type role, your thoughts on Iggy?
Yeah, well, I didn't get to see him, obviously, enough to know exactly what kind of condition he's in and all, and certainly how much money do you have to pay him. So, I mean, if you took the money that you're going to have to pay him and you can use that to get a younger player with experience – who fits the mold of the type of player that you would want on the Golden State Warrior basketball team, then they have to give that some serious consideration, obviously, just the same way that they made the decision with Peyton. They have a younger version of him who maybe not as quite now as good a defender, but could possibly become that, but definitely much more potential offensively.
Right.
And size-wise. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got size. You're right. The defense has always been a huge concern. You know, Rick, I'm going to go back to the free.
Let me cut you off here. I mean, real quick.
Yeah, come on.
Everybody always talks about the guy, what kind of a defensive player he is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. Individual defense doesn't win championships. It's team defense.
You're right.
I want the player who knows how to play team defense, because no great defender is going to be able to shut down, because there is no such thing as a lockdown defender on a score. Okay, that's the reality of it. Whoever the guy is, as great as he is, he's going to get beaten a bunch of times. And if his team doesn't play good team defense, the other team gets a lot of easy baskets, which you see all the time because a lot of teams aren't very good team defensive-wise. And so it's not a factor. And everybody always brings that up. Well, he's not a very good defender and stuff. Hey, I consider myself a decent defender, but I was a really good team defender because I understood the game. I understood how to play passing angles, be in help position. And I could do that. And so – everybody always talks about, you know, his individual defense. His individual defense is bullshit because if he's a great individual defender and not a good team defender, I don't want him. Because
I echo those sentiments exactly with people. But so let me ask you this. Do you think a player like Carmelo Anthony, who's not known for good defense, and that's just an example, could you teach him to buy into the team system and be a good defender as a result of that? Or is hope lost on a player like him?
Well, he's a lot older. He's not going to be as quick and as fast. His reaction time is going to be the same at his age. I mean, gotcha. That's just the reality of it. I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to knock him down. I always liked him. In fact, I thought he was one of the few players that actually faced up and used his first dribble as a productive dribble. He didn't do everything off the damn dribble all the time. So I always admire that in Carmelo. So not taking anything away from him, but no, for this team, no, I don't think he's a good fit for this team. Not the way the team plays when they play their best.
Fair enough. So I'm going to give you a few other names out there. Are you familiar with Markieff Morris? He's one of the Morris twins. He got hit in the back by Nikola Jokic last year. I don't know if you remember that in-game scuffle that ended his season. It was crazy. It was not talked about that much. He's a free agent. He's reportedly healthy and ready. He's going to be 33, or he is 33. Any interest in a player like him? Gives you size, can shoot the three.
Yeah, well, again, this is where the Warriors have to make the decision. I personally feel they should get a one or two veteran guys to come in. That's what the Spurs did all the time. Look at what the Spurs did during the time when it seemed like they couldn't win back-to-back, but it's like every other year they were winning a championship for a while. What did they keep? They kept bringing in guys who were veteran players. They knew what they were going to be able to get. Hey, my son was one of them.
Brent, yeah, exactly.
I mean, and they brought him in and he fit in beautifully with them, just like they did with so many other players who came in and fit in beautifully with them. And this is what I think the Warriors need to take a serious look at. So it's just a matter of how costly is it going to be? You know, is this a player who will play our style or our brand of basketball? Play it well? If not, then you don't need them. I mean, so it's an evaluation of the skills and talents of the abilities of those players that you're mentioning as to what they can do, really evaluate it closely, and then look at it from a financial standpoint. What do we have to pay to be able to get him? But I think without having some veteran people on your bench, well, the Warriors haven't really won this year. They got some guys that came through, but I mean, they still had Iggy there who was, you know, helped a little bit, but most of the time when they've won, their bench was always a factor. And they have great guys. You know, I saw at the parade, Sean was there. Livingston was at the, you know, he was so good for the Warriors on coming off the bench. You know, and they even had They even had David Lee early when who was willing to take a
position.
And Iggy, who were willing to go and come off the freaking bench, guys who were all-star players and starters.
Leandro, your boy.
Leandro Barbosa, another guy. I mean, this is what you need. You need to have that. And right now, if you have a bunch of guys who don't have the experience, well, maybe if they get a chance to play enough, maybe they'll get to the point where they'll come playoff time that they will be an asset for you. Hard to say, but it's always nice to know what you have. And when you go after a veteran guy, you kind of know what you're getting because you've already been able to see him and evaluate him over a period of time. And it's not like it's a guess, like just the same thing. Jordan made a great improvement. To think that you're entitled to a max contract because you did what you did, you haven't hardly been in the league. You know, have you played a number of years showing you can play at a super high level that would, I think, make you eligible or be someone deserving of a max contract? I mean, the realism of it is, and this is what you have to be, and I'm sure he's got people telling him about it, and there may be some teams out there who are going to be willing to give him that max contract, probably are, because a lot of those people throw money around like it's like it's confetti. I mean, it's just insane.
It's crazy.
I think you have to show that you are a player that you can rely on, who can perform at that level consistently. Jordan hasn't played enough to show that. How do we know? With all expectations, you expect him to be as good or better next year, but is he going to be? Okay. And if he does it again, well, now he has a case where he did better. He got better. He'll probably have a big case, to get a max contract after that if he's going to be eligible. So,
well, I have a question for you that very few people can answer, but you're one of them as a former finals MVP, former world champion. How much value does that world championship experience give these young players? Because I feel like that's something that the Warriors brass is counting on but the whole postseason experience of being successful to the end. I'm guessing they think is going to result in better play. They've said this publicly. That's what I'm basing this on. So Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Moody, even to a Wiseman who did not actually play but was with the bench the whole way. How much value did that world championship experience give them? And was that enough, you think, to make them now have that veteran mindset that they're going to need from their bench?
I don't think so. I don't think they played enough. Certainly they should have learned something from it, but it's up to each individual. I know I learned a lot in my first year my second year in the league, we went to the finals. So I was a rookie. I didn't have, but I understood the game. Okay. I mean, I had really great knowledge of the game and I was first team all pro, which is a little bit different, So, and I did learn that because I play obviously a lot, especially that year when we lost to that great 76er team, scored a lot of points and played with I probably today would, they would have never let me play because I had to get shot up to play and they never let me do that today. And I'm just lucky I didn't ruin my whole career. But so the thing is, I learned that you can't get yourself so emotionally involved in it because that sucks energy from you. When you are so hyped and so doing it, you're draining energy from yourself. And so I kind of learned that with my experience there in the second year. And that was very helpful to me. So you have to keep a good balance of what it is from a mental standpoint so that you don't get yourself so worked up that you're going to go and cause yourself to not have the energy that you would normally have. So that's what I learned a lot more of it. And to me, the biggest test is you look at a lot of guys and see stuff and guys have these great years. And then you look at their stats and you see what they did in the regular season and what they did in the playoffs. And a lot of times there's a dramatic difference between the two because the way that the NBA allows the playoffs to be officiated gives an advantage to the less skilled players. I've said that for decades and decades and decades because to allow the game to become as physical as they allow it to come without calling the fouls gives an advantage to a guy because it doesn't take talent, skill, and ability to do that, to hold, shove, push, and do all of that crazy stuff. So I understood and realized that I have to be even more focused and I have to elevate my performance and my play in the playoffs because I'm not going to be able to get the things I got in the regular season because the officials aren't going to let it. They're going to let guys do more to me. I'm going to get hit more. I'm going to get banged more. I'm not going to get to the free throw line perhaps as often. And you have to be prepared for that. And as I say, I think the NBA does a disservice to the players by allowing that to happen. To me, the over-physicality of the game at times is absurd. It's too big of an advantage they're giving to the other guy to be as physical. And I've never been a big fan of it, but I understood it and I responded to it. But it's to me, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you see how many times you see two guys crash into one another and hit the floor and the whistle doesn't blow. So
yeah, it's crazy.
It's gotta be a block or a charge. I mean, it has to be one or the other. It can't be a no call. I mean, there's just no freaking way it could be a no call when you have that kind of collision happening. And so that's my biggest thing. And I made a big rant about it at All-Star Weekend this time. I guess some people, they picked up on it. I just asked the officials, please call the game according to the rule book, not your interpretation of the rule book as it is stated and set in stone. And if you do it during the season that way, you don't change it during the playoffs. And right. Call it the same way from the start of the game to the end of the game. That's all you ask as a player. But as a player, what you have to learn to do is you must adjust to whatever the official's mind is thinking in that particular game, because you don't know. He's calling it close, then he's not calling it close. And it drives you, drove me nuts as a player to have to freaking deal with that. I mean, seriously, it's you just don't even understand, because it's one of the most difficult sports, because you've had so much contact and things going on. It's even more so than soccer, which is kind of opened up because it's in a confined area. But there's just so much holding and pushing and grabbing and shoving that goes on. And it was actually more physical during the regular season back when I played than it is now. The problem is it's so dramatic because they hardly let a lot of that stuff go during the regular season. And then in the playoffs, they do. So it's even more dramatic of a change than it was back when I played.
Drives yeah, crazy.
That was one of the things that drove me crazy, is the way officials called the game. And I've said it many times. I always used to joke. I say, can I please see the new rule book we're playing by?
Yeah, you've expressed disdain repeatedly for the Bad Boy Pistons teams as being a model of that physical play that does not translate to talent and like the borderline thuggery they got away with. I hear you. You're right. I can't argue with that. It's good logic. Can I play a soundbite for you real quick? This is Draymond Green's skills trainer. His name is Travis Walton. And this attribution, I loved it because it talked about Draymond pre-game six while he was warming up and his sentiments.
This is
Travis Walton, Draymond Green's trainer, talking about the warm-up leading into game six.
Trav, you know, as Draymond's friend, forget about being his trainer for one second. As Draymond's friend, I saw you out there in Boston when they clinched, and we were all in Boston. They were hard on him in that city. We saw the shirts. We heard the chants. I'm from Philly, so I know tough fans, but that was even something I was taken aback of. It was intense. One, they finally got over that hump and that final buzzer sound. How happy for him were you, and just what was his mindset like and his emotions like after this past championship?
Oh, it was incredible. So the best thing was, I'm not sure if you guys seen it, was when he came out for his pregame routine, game six. And I remember him coming out, and we were sitting on the court. And it was me and our other great friend, his barber, Brownie. And we were sitting there. He came through, and I can tell his energy was just vibrant. And I knew that he was going to have a great game. And he was already saying, like, yeah, it's over. It's over. I watched this. So I think the way that they played, they started the game, he made a floater. It was 2-12. And I was in the stands, and I was like, ah, this is perfect. Boston came out rolling, and the Warriors just missed a couple shots. They had their run, and it's going to be a splash. So after the game, I could just see from him, like, the accomplishment, like, wow, this is incredible. And I did it in an environment that he said was one of the toughest environments he ever played in, just because of the stuff that was being said. Like, whoa, I didn't expect I was going to come out and people were going to have on those type of T-shirts with the F Draymond and yelling at the family and all the things that the Boston fans were saying. So I think to feel it on their court, it just meant a lot more.
Your thoughts on that, if anything? I love the video highlights. I mean, that series was incredible. But what is the most hostile environment you've played in? Because I've never seen Dre rattle before. I think that was the first time any of us saw Draymond Green rattled a little bit. Is Boston the hardest place to play in a setting that intense, the NBA Finals, or is there a harder place? What's your experience with hostile environments?
Well, I mean, I experience stuff like that all the time. You know, people freaking hated me. So here's the thing, is that people don't boo you if you're not any good.
True. True.
Okay. So boos to me were like cheers. I fed off of the boos. I love that because I know that, hey, they're not they're only booing me because they know I can kick their ass. Yep. You know? So it was a good thing in that regard. But yeah, I've been in very hostile environments. I mean, you know, I was someplace, hell, I had police escort and stuff watching, following me around because somebody had a death threat came in. And so,
Elaborate on that, please.
That happened in the ABA when I was playing and I left teams and I was going to leave Virginia and all. It was just crazy. I mean, and I did. And I've gotten into stuff. You know, fans were crazy. I mean, going off the court, Pam, you know, throwing beer in your face, a thing. And I mean, we've had a lot of crazy incidents that took place over the years. It's probably worse now as far as the fans getting involved because of social media and the coverage that's out right there. You know, you've got we didn't have an ESPN and all the stuff weren't there, the top plays, all the other stuff. These guys are like household names now, and you know, everybody's watching everything that you do, not just on the court, but there's a lot of the writers out there looking for all the stuff off the court as well, looking for the sensational story. So it's a different world that we live in. And I was just happy to see Draymond get back to being Draymond.
Yes.
He wasn't Draymond early on. And that's one of the reasons the Warriors didn't close this series out in less than six games. And, you know, he came through when he needed to come through on the road. And see, obviously, he uses that kind of stuff as fuel for the fire that's already inside of him. He's a very emotional guy. I can relate to that. And those are things that just adds fuel to the fire, gives you even more incentive to want to go out there and kick their butt. And, you know, do nothing worse. The greatest thing in the world is to play an arena on the road when the crowd is silent. Silent to crowd. You know, he was able to try to do that. So, I mean, but that had nothing to do with his trainer talk about. I mean, basically, that was Draymond mentally getting himself properly prepared to go out and do what he needed to do to help his team win. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I don't know Draymond all that well, but I'm sure if you were to ask him, what was the difference between your approach to the games early in that series as opposed to late? And I guarantee you he made adjustments. There's no question about it. You just look by his performance and the way that he played the game. He was just really into the game. He was mentally focused in game number six. And that's the critical element for great players. Great players know how to keep themselves focused for extended periods of time. You see so often it happens in basketball, it's a lack of focus on the part of various players. And if you have a couple of guys that don't stay focused and stuff, it screws up the whole chemistry of the team, especially when you play a team style basketball, and that just screws everything up. You have to remain focused. And that's something that can't be taught. It's an individual thing that everybody has to find out what it is that they need to do in order to get themselves in the right frame of mind to play that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could say that's a huge reason why Draymond Green is a great player, because he's figured that part of it out. But let's go back to this death threat for a second. Did they call? Like, how did the death threat come in? Was it a call?
Because, I mean, anyway, it was not a big thing. Fortunately, nobody tried
to kill me. It's interesting, though.
At the same game, they had a contest. They asked me if I picked the winner to pick out signs, you know, for me coming in there. So I had to look at all these signs that the fans brought that I took out. And I did. I went out and I chose the winner. The one I picked, it was a picture of me bending over with my head coming up and sticking it up my butt, my own butt. So I gave that as the winner. So I thought that was pretty clever.
And then some jackass.
You got to have fun with it. And what those people don't understand, I was a sleeping dog. Let me lie.
That's what I always tell people about the Warriors in general, man. Like, people who have achieved and understand what greatness is, like yourself, Stephen Curry. It's like, why would you ever want to poke the bear? And people just keep talking trash to the Warriors. I never understand the why of it. Arrogance is not only such a turnoff, but it just motivates the other person or team. And I've never understood that aspect of the trash talking game that goes within this.
You just used the word that always disturbed me when people always said that I was arrogant. I was not arrogant. I'm an extremely, extremely.
I'm not applying that to you. No,
I'm not. I said you used the word about. I'm just saying. Yeah. I've been accused of being Rick Barry's really arrogant. I am still an extremely, extremely confident individual, And extremely confident people scare the hell out of people who aren't confident.
That is true.
And they look at you as being arrogant because they have no self-confidence themselves. And so
great point.
That's the problem. I honestly believe a really arrogant person doesn't have the great self-confidence because they use that as a mechanism to camouflage the fact that they're scared shitless. Okay. I'm serious. I really truly believe that. I've watched it over the years, Cyrus. I really believe that arrogant people aren't confident people, because if you're confident, there's a difference between the way you handle yourself as opposed to being arrogant.
No, I agree, man. It's a coping mechanism to hide your insecurity. I'm full-heartedly subscribing to what you're telling me. And that's very astute. It's an intelligent thing to say. You know, some people have been giving me some shit lately because I think Klay Thompson still has a tremendous amount of value, but people are diminishing him now. They think the amount of money he makes, he's making over $40 million a year, which is a lot of cash. But I don't think Klay Thompson's done. I think he still has some great things left to do. What are your thoughts on Klay Thompson?
Well, for him to come back and have the season that he had after what he'd gone through was pretty remarkable. And if you really analyze it, even when he was healthy, he always had that roller coaster ride. Right? He was never up here playing at that level consistently, because rarely does any player do that. You're going to have your ups and your downs, and Klay was that way. He was a bit streaky, but man, when he was on the good streak, there are very few people that can match what he could do when he was on a hot streak. I mean, when he was going, man, he got it going big time. And the beauty about him is that he understands it and he doesn't let it get him down. I mean, he's liable to go 0-for-8 and then, you know, like I say, come out the next game, go 8-for-10. I mean, and he may not be as quick as he was before, but I don't think he became a liability defensively. But then again, it's the individual defense and that people are talking about. Who cares? So what? So he doesn't make his guy work as hard. Is he playing team defense? Is the team playing team defense? And I think that was one of the reasons the Warriors got in trouble. They played the start of the season out. Their team defense went a little south. They stopped doing the rotation, stopped playing the type of defense that they played. And then if you have guys all of a sudden struggling with their offense, now you run into difficulty and you start losing some games that you probably shouldn't have lost. So, he deserved to get what he got as far as his contract goes. It's unfortunate that he had to have the injuries, but yes, he certainly still has some great value. I mean, listen, you can't leave Klay Thompson alone, okay?
No, you can't.
So he all of a sudden is keeping one defender pretty busy, because if you're playing against the Warriors, you're telling the guy guard Klay, don't leave Klay. So how much help can he be in a team defensive situation? That's why if I were setting things up for the Warriors and with Steph, I would always be running action with those guys spotted up outside, so that if I knew I could beat my man going right and I got Klay on my right side, that defender's not going to come and help me. And if he does, I'm throwing the ball to a guy who's just lights out three-point shooter. And so I would always run stuff if I were coaching that team to always put him in a situation where I can get half a step on my man and never worry about the guy on the right side coming in to stop me. Because if he did, I'm just dropping it off to Klay for a wide open spot up jumper. What higher percentage do you think he's going to shoot of those?
And Rick, I saw the last three games of the NBA Finals. I saw the old Klay in terms of defense. He was playing solid D.
He did some good defense. And just to get,
I was impressed. Then again, 19 points per game in the postseason. That's nothing to sniff. That's nothing to, you know, just scoff at. And then during the regular season, his first game.
How many guys in their career ever averaged 19 points a game?
Exactly. And in the regular season, he averaged 20.4 points per game in the regular season. He's still a solid shoot. I don't get it. Yeah, I'm excited for what's to come next year. Good for Klay. Anything else? Let's give some love to your sponsors. I want to quickly mention our clothing line, because that's the only way we're going to make money on the show. but real quick first, who are you paying your bills, sir? Who's endorsing you?
Well, I'm doing work for a number of companies, you know, where nobody's they're not paying me to do it, because I believe in the company, okay, and the success that the company will have. And that's, Medicileaf, which also is part of, as the Aloe MD product is now part of Medicileaf.
Right.
Great products. You can go to, you can go to medicileaf.com, medicileaf.com. Put the code 24 in there. You get a discount on the products. The Aloe MD product is now in there as part of it, as we've joined forces.
Nice.
Chris Hardy, it's just amazing what we do with the aloe vera based product, and has some cannabinoids in it. It's just been going gangbusters. And then for when I'm playing pickleball and doing anything of that nature, one of the really interesting products is we have sleeves called Go Sleeves, S-L-E-E-V-E-S, GoSleeves.com. Put RB24 is the code to get a nice discount there. They have Kinesio tape built into these sleeves. I wear it all the time on my knee. In fact, I wore it on my left knee because I have no cartilage in there and it's an arthritic knee. And it felt just so darn good on it that I wear it on my good knee as well, because it just gives me a feeling of balance. And it's also good for recovery. We have stuff for your calf that can help also with your Achilles. We got something for your elbow as well. They're working on something for the hamstring. I mean, so yeah, a lot of really great products. So just check them out. A lot of good things happening with it. Runners are just swearing by this stuff now, doing it, using it for recovery. So yeah, check those two products out and, you know, see what you got there. And then gogyv.com, gogyv.com. I take this supplement every day. I used to have to take a prescription drug for my knee, Celebrex. And I started taking this product years ago and I haven't had a Celebrex since. Wow. All natural products. It's really great. A lot of, really good for people for energy and everything. So if you go to the sleeve, gogyv.com, and just, you know, just look at the video. I did it a number of years ago, but some of the other former athletes that are there that are raving about it. There you go. There's the picture with a lot of the athletes that are there.
Yeah.
It's a terrific product. I use it every day. I take pills every morning and every night, and just awesome stuff. And just working on a lot of other products. You know, I have another one that I'm doing for the military that we have, Vijuvia is Life Centers, and we have products there that we're going to do and try to help the military people out. And people, if they buy something, we wind up giving one free and try to help some of the guys that are suffering with, you know, PTSD. I mean, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. But we're trying to get that disorder. I said PTSD, but we're trying to get that changed because there's a colonel out there trying to get the PTSI Foundation, which is injury, changed a disorder to an injury. Because it is a very serious issue. And, you know, still we have so many military people who are killing themselves. And it's just so tragic and sad. And
agreed.
Just trying to do a lot of things in a lot of different areas. My pickleballconnections.com. If you're into pickleball, go to pickleballconnections.com. Go to mypickleball.com/Rick and check it out. And you can get a free membership into that. Pickleball Zone. We're going to be doing stuff in the world of pickleball. I'm so much into pickleball. Fastest growing sport in the United States. I'm just crazy busy. I mean, I could be talking all day about the crazy things that I'm involved in. As my wife calls them, my cockamamie deals, but they work. I try not to get involved with anything that I don't really, I will not if I don't truly believe in them. I've had people give me a chance to do stuff, but if I didn't believe in it and really feel that it's something meaningful and worthwhile, whether it's a service or a product, I'm not going to get involved with it. I mean, my reputation means too much to me as far as being an honest person and truthful. I'm not going to do something just to make money.
Bravo, sir. I respect that. You have a man of integrity, and I want to quickly add as well, have you gotten your shirts yet that I
was going to let you know. I did get the one, but I mean, you didn't send me a shirt. Well, I'm not going to wear the one that has my name on it, but the one that my wife fits, the one up above, yeah, the Warriors one, that gold one, she's got, that'll fit, that one will fit her. And then you've got your surf stuff. I'm going to save that one for Canyon, who's a surfer. You know,
okay. Is it the one with the dog surfing right here?
Yeah, your dog surfing one. Yeah.
There you go. And again, anybody, these are all available. And again, this is how Rick and I are going to make money off this. We don't make money off advertising, but these shirts, I vouch by it. I wear them all the time. I just sent Rick some. Is quality meet your standards, sir? I'm happy with the quality.
It's cotton poly, which is good. Which works fine for everything. I'm a huge, dry fit kind of guy myself, because I perspire and I perspire so freaking easily. And so I kind of prefer that. But this has got a nice mix of cotton and poly. I just checked that out when I got them just to see what it was. It's got a nice feel to it. So, yeah, it's a good quality. It's a good quality product. No question about that.
And all you got to do is just go to our Twitter page, which is @RickBerryHouse. We've rebranded this whole program. So it's now called Rick Berry's House. Shows within it, including the Rick Berry show we're doing right now. But if you click on the link at the top of the Twitter page, the very first link there is Rick Berry Show Apparel, and it just leads you all to the clothes right there. So, go check that out.
We may have another one that I may come out and we may add to this thing, and we'll just do it however we want, maybe put 24 in it. But I have a new hat that a good friend who's very famous, he's designed more uniforms and stuff for pro teams and all, just a creative graphic artist and design guy. We have a hat that's going to be just amazing for being able to, especially for hot weather, that will be like a dry fit kind of shirt. Really super, super lightweight, great products and stuff. And so we'll have to talk a little bit about that. Maybe we'll put
the
hat on there, because I'm going to do that, maybe get the thing and maybe put you know, my number or put something on it, or even then just put it on there and just sell it as a blank hat. Just buy the damn thing. Because, I mean, if you really get outside and you do stuff, you want to stay cool. You want to be able to have that thing dry out. You don't want to have a big old heady, sweaty thing on your head. But this Correct. Is some really innovative products. And maybe we'll just we'll give a choice, you know, to get something with the logo on it or to just buy the hat itself. But the hat's awesome. I can't wait to have some, because I'm going to use them when I start playing, you know, when I'm playing pickleball.
Good stuff, sir. All right, Rick, it's always a pleasure to see you. And the big three, is your next game this weekend again?
Yeah, we play this weekend. Yeah, you know, Leandro getting hurt is such a bummer. And
it is.
But
it is.
Well, my guys compete all the time. And, you know, we were right there with another first place team. We had knocked Lisa Leslie's team off, you know, a week before that. And had another chance to knock off a team when we were right there with them. And then Leandro got hurt when the game was close in the low 30s playing the 50. And we just didn't step up and get it done. And the other team played better. I mean, it was this, that. But it's hard to lose your leading scorer and the guy that does so much for you. And also one of the top assist guys as well. I mean, Leandro is the backbone of our team. And, you know, losing
him. Have you talked to Brent or John about playing for you? Because I'm sure they can still step in, right?
John's not in shape. John wants to play golf. And I don't think
an amazing golfer.
Brent does an amazing golfer. Brent doesn't want to get out there and play. But no, they would be great because they're great 3-point shooters.
Right.
In 3x3, you have to have shooters and you have to make 3-point shots or you're not going to win. And in FIBA, when they do it where Canyon plays, it's a 2-point shot only. So it's one for a basket, two for the 3-pointer. And so it's kind of interesting.
But, rules, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it's a lot different because you have to play misses or makes. You grab the make and you got to go and get it out and go. And it's just go, move. And that's why the three foreign guys, the alien team with Dusan Bulut as the captain and Las Manas and their other guy, that's why they're playing well, because they got a great guy to join them.
But Rick, is that intentional that they called the team the aliens, or did that just somehow work out?
It just kind of worked out, I guess, but it's appropriate, I guess, right? Because you have three of the players are foreigners, you know, and so, but guys who have played years and years and years of 3x3 basketball in a more difficult format than what this is, and so they're doing quite well. In this format. So it's kind of interesting, you know, to see. You know, it's not like the USA dominates everything all the time. But if we all played a lot more 3-on-3 and guys understood how to play it the right way, we probably would.
Oh, I love it. Rick, it
anyway, all the best to everybody. Hope the summer's going well for you. Boy, I'm going to tell you, Dallas, it was 109 degrees down there a couple times. Oh, my God. It gets so hot in Dallas. That's why I'm so happy to get back. It was 90-something degrees in Colorado Springs where I spend the summers. But it goes down into the 60s at night. I mean, so,
yeah,
you know, so it's tolerable. So anyway, I got to get out and play some pickleball this week because I'm playing in a pickleball exhibition and thing in Dallas area on Thursday before I'm there for the big three this weekend. But
oh, my God, summer Texas.
Well, we're not going to start play until like 7 o'clock or so at night. So hopefully maybe it'll only be 90 about then.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, so it's only 90 with humidity, with full 100% humidity. And people can follow Rick Barry on all social media platforms at Rick24Barry. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at Dogs for Approach, and this program on Twitter at Rick Barry House. It's where we house literally all of your podcasts. Rick, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.